Each year in countries around the world, an estimated $1 trillion is paid out in bribes. But what impact does such corruption have on the lives of ordinary people? And what is the most effective way of combating this huge and largely hidden problem? Those were the questions being asked at a recent international conference held here in the Vatican, looking at ways of mobilising governments, businesses, civil society and the church to try and fight the scourge of corruption. My colleague Susie Hodges has been taking a closer look.
Corruption is described as an insidious plague that reduces a government's ability to provide basic resources and services for its citizens. It also undermines democracy and damages the very fabric of society by impacting on people's values.
When corruption becomes endemic, it touches the hardcore of the state, of the community, and it disorganizes all pre-established social systems.
François Vinque was one of the participants at the Vatican Anti-Corruption Conference organized by the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. He's the chairman of the Anti-Corruption Commission of the International Chamber of Commerce in Paris. But is corruption getting worse? That was a question I put to Antonio Costa, Executive Director of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, and another participant at the Vatican Conference.
Certainly we have awareness about corruption growing worldwide, which may give the feeling, including to media, that corruption per se is increasing, but that would be the wrong translation of a symptom into a cause. Point number two, one of the exercises we are engaged as United Nations at the moment is to identify parameters and ways of measuring corruption across countries so as to establish benchmarks. And that difficulty of finding what to measure shows that any statement that corruption is going up or going down may be premature because we don't really know, because we don't have the way of measuring that.
So, although opinion is divided on whether corruption is increasing or not, it can't be denied that in some countries it's endemic. One Asian nation where corruption has long blighted the political, economic and social landscape is the Philippines. Bishop Dinualdo Gutierrez of Marbel in Mindanao Island is director of the Filipino Church's National Secretariat for Social Action, Justice and Peace. He told me more about the extent of corruption in his country.
Well, it is pervasive, but better now than before.
Why is that?
Because there are now, first, many groups who had been educated, conscientized, who are socially aware of the evil of corruption, and that they have made initiatives to fight corruption. And in many instances, we had good results.
How, though, does corruption impact on the lives of the ordinary people, particularly perhaps the poor? Can you give us some examples?
Yes. Instead of money going to social services like education, health care, shelter, water, etc., the unscrupulous government officials pocket the money, depriving the many poor of the basic necessities in life.
But do you find that the ordinary people complain a lot about corruption? Is it something that is felt very keenly by the population?
Oh, yes. They had been complaining about this, and that's why it's easy to fight corruption, because the people themselves find out how important the issue is, meaning that if they don't do something, they will continue to suffer. So they have to fight if they want their lives to improve. So they are involved.
Contrary to what some people might assume, the practice of bribe-taking always has a damaging impact on the whole of society. Vinca again.
A bribe is never a gift. A bribe is always recovered in the cost price. And so whoever is bribing is making the bribed really paying for it. And this is paid through over-invoicing or through a reduction of the quality of products and prices. Therefore, the country which so-called benefits from this transaction is penalized through an over-invoicing, so more public spending, and as a result, probably a higher taxation.
But is it a fact that in the business world, if you work in certain sectors, it's known that perhaps you have to pay bribes if you want to get that business contract?
No, really, the awareness of the prohibition of the payment of bribes in the international trade is becoming better and better. A number of corporations, a number of multinationals, a number of larger enterprises have really understood that this was not possible anymore, because corruption is running against the very basis of the free market, free enterprise economy. So we cannot continue in this way anymore.
Surveys have shown that one of the industries that is most blighted by the practice of bribery and corruption is the oil and gas sector. Ian Gary is an expert on the extractive industries for the International Development Agency, Oxfam, and was another participant at the Vatican conference. He spells out the extent of the problem.
Well, I think in the last few years, there's been a growing awareness of how damaging corruption has been in countries that produce oil, gas, and other minerals. This has been called the resource curse or the paradox of plenty. And there's a new international campaign called Publish What You Pay, which is a civil society effort of more than 250 civil society organizations from around the world that are pushing the mandatory disclosure of revenues and contracts in oil, gas, and mining operations as a first step to combating corruption.
Hand in hand with this growing awareness of the damage caused by corruption is a growing campaign by the international community to combat this scourge. Costa again.
There is a much greater awareness of the costs. Cases of corruption, whether public or private, have been widely publicized. Initiatives have been undertaken. Government coalitions have collapsed, pushed by away and out of power because of public resentment against corruption. So there is a growing movement, and my conclusion by examining what happens in different countries is that we may be better positioned than ever to curb and deal with corruption because of this popular movement in favor of deciding something about it.
But what are the most effective ways of fighting corruption? Vinca says the answer lies in adopting a series of strategies to tackle a complex phenomenon that, by its very nature, is a hidden one.
It's really having good legislation, it's having a good judiciary, and also having self-regulatory rules within the corporations. That's not enough as such. You need to have a good education of the people in the corporations in order to make sure that they are aware of the self-regulation norms and that they apply it in the day-to-day life.
When it comes to the people, though, there is perhaps this perception. Corruption has always existed, and it's probably destined always to exist. There's a certain complacency here. How can one fight that?
Well, homicide has been forbidden since the Decalogue, and there is still homicide. Now, international corruption is forbidden since the convention of 1997, and as I said, I don't believe it has disappeared, but I believe it is stabilizing, and probably it's going to decrease in the future.
Bishop Gutierrez is one of the leading members of an interfaith commission fighting corruption at the local level in his diocese. He told me about one success story they had.
In the last election, cases were filed in court by this group, Spergo. It is led by the parish priest. The vice chairman is a Protestant pastor. The different people's organizations are there. Some local government officials like mayors are there fighting corruption in the provincial government. So the ombudsman sent investigators, the Commission on Audit audited the financial statement, and several supposed to be NGOs were non-existing. So they were giving money to non-existing organization, and this were discovered. Pergo used that to file cases against the provincial governor, vice governor, the board members, and first, the immediate result is they lost in the elections. Second, they were immediately suspended. Now, the criminal case is going on. So these are what you might call success stories.
When it comes to the global campaign against corruption, Antonio Costa believes that the Catholic Church can use its moral authority to play a more active role in preaching about the evils of corruption.
We need to mobilize the whole of society, whether we're talking about civil society, whether we talk about media, whether we talk about the places of faith. Now, the Catholic Church, as being so powerful in the moral imperatives, it underlines in the life of everybody, I think it can indeed exert a role of a moral nature, of a leadership nature. And I would like to see, indeed, the Church being more engaged, even in terms of its teaching and preaching about the importance of integrity. I was just kidding, and perhaps this is extracurricular with respect to your question, whether an act of corruption is a venial or is a mortal sin. I do not know, but certainly what could have been seen in the past as okay, a little greasing of the wheels, today should be seen as a major blow to a human dignity on the part of those who pay for corruption and suffer because of corruption. It could be seen as a major impact on society at large. So I would like the Catholic Church to represent it also in terms of the theology of these illegal activities.
Thinker too says he would like to see the Church to be more proactive on this issue.
The Catholic Church can give moral strength, it can give ethical guidance, it can give also the strength of its global structure. The Catholic Church is the first private global organization in the world, and through this structure and through its moral strength, it can give really to the prohibition of international corruption a very sound and solid ground.
But is it doing this enough in your view?
Not yet. It's probably coming. I think really it is time for the Church to move into this direction. It is true, a certain number of indications have been given up to now, but it has to happen in a stronger, in a more fundamental way.
Susie Hodges was talking to François Vinque, Antonio Costa, Ian Gary and Philippine Bishop Dinualdo Gutierrez, all participants in the recent Vatican Conference on Combating Corruption.